Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome everyone here to our Thriving Marriage podcast. We are excited to be with you today. I'm Heather Choate. I'm with Mark Johnston. How are you doing, Mark?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Today, we're going to be sharing when to tell if your marriage is over or not. I know this has been a topic on a lot of people's hearts and minds. We've been doing this a long time here, right, Mark? We've helped thousands of couples now all around the world. And we often hear from you guys, is it too late to save my marriage? Is it possible to turn this around? Is there hope at this point? Should I just move on? And that is the question that we are going to help you answer today, because we know with almost exact certainty here, whether a relationship is too far gone or not. And we want to help you guys get that clarity today as well. Before we get to that though, I want to share a client win from Tim of how amazing this can be when you have the right method to turn things around quickly. So Tim shares, great news. My wife told me yesterday she wants to come home. I have been watching your YouTube videos for the last year and started applying what the coaching taught me and what you and I have talked about. It has caused something to click with her. She totally has taken divorce out of the picture and she said she wants to come back and rebuild our relationship. 13 and a half years relationship back together after 13 and a half months of separation. So a little over a year of separation. He says, how weird is that? I believe changing my mindset and changing my story that y'all talk about was the key that unlocked her heart. Not even a week ago, she said she was done and wanted papers signed. I stay persistent with the change and didn't give up. I have to admit, I was skeptical at first if this would work, but y'all proved me wrong. She even said she's willing to get in on our calls, meaning coaching calls with us. She said she's committed to make this work and said she never wants to leave again. Thanks. Wow. Yeah. So I talked to Tim personally when he first started reaching out to us, and I know how checked out his wife was and how she was so set on divorce. And he was like, we've been separated for over a year and she won't talk to me about anything except the kids. And so he stayed true to this process. And now she's saying that she wants things to work and that, you know, she's committed to making this work and doesn't want to leave again. So here's a person that was like feeling there's probably not a hope left, right? Feeling like things are pretty desperate. They're pretty dire. Everyone in his life telling him he should probably just move on from this relationship. He should probably just get over her and stop trying to do something that's impossible. But we assessed his marriage first and determined, is this a situation that can be saved or not? One of the things I love that we do, Mark, is we're really transparent with people. We do this analysis with you guys right off the bat to make sure that there is hope. If there's not, we let you guys know, because it would not be to anyone's benefit to bring you guys on as a client, to take your money, to do all this work and have it not work out if we already know it's not going to work out. That's really out of integrity to us. And it just wouldn't serve you and it wouldn't serve us. It wouldn't serve anyone. And so one of the things that I love that we do is we're very clear on assessing your relationship as much as we possibly can at the beginning to show you if there's hope or not. And so in Tim's case here, we found there's absolutely hope for him. So Mark, any insights on this?
Yeah. I know Tim mentioned here in the comment that he had worked with one of the other coaches previously. But yeah, I've been working with Tim more recently. It was great. Like I had a week where like it was a whole bunch of my clients came to me with news like this. And, you know, this was just another, you know, some icing on the cake. It was in my discussion with Tim where we were talking about what really played into this. And he was saying a lot of it was like staying consistent and keeping to a lot of the principles that we were teaching. In the end, like there was like this one defining moment, but it was really built off of a lot of other smaller interactions. So it was great to see, you know, some payout here.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And it's also just what we do every single day. Yeah. And so we know that as you guys follow the process, that this method works really, really well. So we asked you guys over in our Facebook group, how can you really tell if your marriage is over? I thought that was an interesting question. And we saw a lot of different responses. Mm-hmm. A lot of them saying, well, if they're with someone else, if they cheat on you, if they say they don't want to work on it with you, if they're signing divorce papers, if you already are divorced, anything across the spectrum there, if they don't come home, if they leave your room. So there's a lot of different ideas out there. And I believe that this is where the biggest fallacy is in the relationship world or our culture around relationships, our understanding about relationships, is that people are actually quitting. I am going to use the word quitting, even that's a very strong word, way too soon. And maybe it's because you don't realize that there's actually more hope because everyone else out there is painting this absolute dire picture. And you just don't have the skills or the process here to be able to turn things around quickly. So the good news is that when you have the right process, Mark, we see things do turn around within weeks, months, and it takes, you know, a while to fully restore the entire relationship. So let's dive into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Marriage is really over or not.
Yeah. I mean, like there's all sorts of like things that pop up. You know, like you said, there's some people are like, okay, if there's an affair, if there's like divorce papers coming up. And I tend to see if like, hey, we're dealing with like a couple of these things. In most cases, we have a situation that's recoverable. It's a lot more if we're seeing a lot of stuff stacked on top of each other. I mean, my opinion is that it does become a little bit like an onion. And if we can start like, I always like to like go into these situations and say, okay, well, there's probably some things that we got to do, but we just got to start with this outer onion. And then we can get a little bit more to the heart of the matter as we keep going. But it does tend to complicate things if we have a lot of these marriage ending situations all piling up on top of each other. One of the things that I found is that almost all these situations that do lead towards separation or divorce, as it's usually an issue with one of our pillars. Like Heather and I, several weeks back, we were talking about pillars of a successful or happy relationship, right? We talked about some of the, like, do you want to go over that really briefly in case people missed that? Heather, what were some of the pillars here?
Yeah. So four pillars of a happy relationship, the first one being fulfillment. So does your relationship go beyond simply just meeting needs, or do you feel a sense of deep fulfillment? That's really what we are looking for in a romantic relationship and a committed partnership. So some questions to ask yourself is, do you feel as though your needs are better met within the relationship? Do you both feel built up and supported? Does your partner add to your needs rather than just be present for your needs? So those are some kind of clarity questions to assess the level of fulfillment in your relationship. The second one is feedback, which is so important. We talk about the ability to give and receive feedback, meaning can you discuss issues in productive ways? So it's not just simply, you know, can you discuss problems, but can you give even positive feedback? And can you give potentially negative feedback? Can your partner give positive feedback? Can they give negative feedback? And this is the ability that we all need to have that so many relationships are lacking because it's not taught. And it's a skill that you absolutely can learn and it's necessary, right, Mark? We have to be able to, we're all going to have problems. We're all going to have issues and we all need to be able to address those issues in a productive way. And then the fourth one, intimacy. So how close are you to your partner? How vulnerable can you be? And how much safety is there in your relationship to be really intimate, to be really vulnerable, to share the parts of you that maybe you are not, you know, willing to share with anyone else, right? And then fourth, positive regard, meaning how do you view your partner and how do they view you? And a possible fifth pillar here is commitment. Meaning how committed and loyal are you to your partner and are they to you? And commitment tends to be a result of other pillars being met. So Mark, you can explain a little bit about that, but we've got these
other
like pillars that lead to a deep sense of commitment to each other.
Yeah. When we were discussing this several weeks ago, we had discussed four, and you know, I was debating whether to discuss a fifth pillar. And sometimes when I'm talking with clients, I talk about this fifth pillar. And I check like, okay, are these things present in a relationship, to kind of check in with the health of it. When I'm talking about that fifth pillar, the reason why I debated it is exactly like you said, Heather, is because it tends to be more of a result than something independent of itself. If we have a lot of positive regard and intimacy and good positive feedback, and the relationship's very fulfilling, it tends to be a very committed relationship. I mean, but there, to a certain extent, there is, you know, I could go into all sorts of commitment theories. We could talk about like structural commitment versus more internal commitment and values and stuff and all that. But suffice to say, like these things, it tends to be that if there are problems with these pillars, we are going to see more marriage ending problems. So whether that, you know, like we could go into like specific situations potentially here, as in like, okay, let's pretend that there's an affair or some infidelity. Well, it tends to be because there's issues with some of these pillars. Perhaps there is, you know, like a lack of commitment. Perhaps the relationship itself is not feeling very fulfilling. Perhaps there's a lot of resentment built up because you haven't been able to discuss problems and you can't communicate what's wrong. You know, or we might have a situation where the two of you have drifted apart and it's become more of a surface level relationship where you get that description of like, we're just roommates, or I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And I tend to see, hey, the relationship's not fulfilling and you haven't really focused on being close to your partner and sharing things. But, there is all these specific situations that we see tend to be a result of a lack in some one or more of these pillars, whether this is, like I said, affairs or a roommate sort of relationship or defensiveness and stonewalling, or maybe you've become apathetic, or maybe there's even, you know, I would say even a lack of sex drive or sexual incompatibility, maybe its own thing, but it may, you know, it can certainly be a result of these issues. And yeah. I do think it's important to kind of assess what's going on here if we're trying to discover when, you know, whether the marriage is viable still.
Right. So as you guys are listening to what Mark is sharing here about these different pillars and how they're maybe contributing to what you're facing in your marriage right now, leave a comment, let us know which one you think it is. Is it a lack of fulfillment, inability to give feedback? Is it the intimacy has been lost? Is there no positive regard, commitment? And let us know what you think it is, and we will coach you through that. We read every single comment in our Facebook group, every single comment on YouTube, and we will coach you through that in your comments right there. I also want to offer you guys our assessment to know if your marriage can be saved at this point or not. And so if you want that assessment, say me, put it in the comments and I will get that assessment to you totally free, no cost. And it helps give you clarity. It's truly like a scientific assessment here that we've developed over working with tens of thousands of couples now to determine, is there hope for this marriage or not? So if you want that free assessment, go ahead and leave a comment saying me, and we'll get that to you right away. So Mark, what are these situations really about? We've got, you know, maybe some lack of emotional or physical intimacy, maybe some defensiveness, stonewalling. We've definitely got affairs, infidelity, apathy, drifting apart, roommate mode, lack of sex drive or sexual incompatibility. When we're looking at the lack of these pillars being in place, what is that really about?
I really think that a lot of these things are more symptomatic of other issues. Whether, you know, if we have, and we've said this over and over again on this channel, right, Heather, like if you have an affair, you might say, okay, well, this is this marriage ending event, but it's not really about necessarily 100% about the affair. And if you're not having sex, it's not necessarily about sex. And if the two of you are not communicating and there's a lot of defensiveness and stonewalling, it's not just about this lack of communication. You know, more I see like the major underlying issues that tend to cause all these other things, the what causes these marriage ending events tends to be some other things. And I want to kind of go over those. And then, you know, I want you all to stick around because afterward, we have some questions that we want to have you ask yourself to kind of help you decide whether your marriage is over or not.
It's super helpful. Before you jump into that, I just want to point out, like, most of you guys are probably only really hearing about these more symptomatic things, like the affair, or, you know, like your inability to talk about problems, or the fact that your roommate mode, you know, things like that. And that's where most people fail to really save their marriage because they're not looking at the deeper root issues that are causing that to happen in the first place. And when we focus only on the symptoms, you might be able to change the symptom, but if you don't change the root cause, then more symptoms are just going to crop up. And this is why, my friends, you'll tend to see marriage problems, relationship problems repeat themselves, whether in the same relationship or even into the next relationship. So if you don't actually learn some of these skills and learn how to look at some of these underlying issues, the same things are going to tend to repeat themselves. And so that's why it's so important that we learn what these skills are and learn how to meet needs in the right way so that we can really have thriving, successful relationships. So some of these major issues that likely lead to divorce are going to be underneath the surface. Mm-hmm. And so this is where we, as the experts, can help you uncover what they are, because underneath the surface of an affair looks a lot different than all the pain of betrayal of the affair itself. Right, Mark?
Absolutely.
And that's just an example. So what are some of the things that we see, some of these issues that are really at the root of these symptoms?
Well, let's start with like one that I see almost every single time. And this is an unwillingness to change, to look at problems, or to take responsibility. I'm struggling, Heather, to think of even one client where this is not an issue because, you know, if there's some willingness to look at things, it wouldn't be here. You know, they wouldn't be coming to us for some help. So like the bad news with this kind of problem is it's this sort of attitude that can place some huge, huge roadblocks on the way to fixing things. It's can be very difficult to move past. So if it's all blame and very, very little thought given to understanding or accountability, it's very difficult to move forward. The good news here though, is that blame and, you know, like lack of responsibility usually have some underlying causes. Like there's some reasons why there might be some unwillingness to change. I'm typically looking at in these situations, issues around poor boundaries. Maybe someone has taken some undue responsibility for their partner's feelings or actions. I was just talking to someone earlier today where that was the case. And as they've started to put boundaries into their relationship, it's a bit hard, but like, his wife is actually starting to take some more responsibility for her actions as he's putting the boundaries in. Or it might be because of poor communication of requests and expectations. And a lot of blame can come up when expectations and requests are not clear. And so that's usually, I mean, we could go into like, we could probably have a list of like 10 different things, all things that contribute to an unwillingness to change. But what we're getting at here is there are things to look at with this problem, things to assess, and there's a lot of solutions to these things. And it can usually be solved with a lot of patience and empathy and boundaries and clear communication. I do see this, though, as a more complicated issue, as in, you know, we're not just going to look at this and be like, oh, you know what? My partner doesn't want to change, or I'm having trouble changing. There's a clear solution. You just need to do these two things and then we're good. And if you hear anyone saying that, I would run away from their advice because it's very likely not going to be all that helpful. But if with some professional support, I do think that this is a solvable situation.
I agree. And we've actually proven that true. So Mark, most of our clients start with an unwilling spouse, right? They're mm-hmm. unwilling to change. They're unwilling to take responsibility for themselves. They don't want to work on the marriage. And most people think that then there's nothing you can do, which I understand where that's coming from. We are only in control of our own actions. We cannot force, manipulate, coerce our spouse to do anything. The way that they look at things and the actions that they choose are their own. And so I understand that. But what happens more often than not is that we're giving our spouse almost all power over the relationship at this point. And we don't realize we're 50% of the equation. And when you change half of a system, I mean, my husband's learning, teaching our sons right now how to pull a transmission, right? So if they only changed, you know, just a 10% of the transmission, that wouldn't maybe have a big effect. But when you change half the system in the car, the whole system changes, right? It's a totally different system now. And so the same thing is true for you. Sometimes we feel like our spouse is calling all the shots, is holding all the cards, because they're the one that's making a statement of, I'm not willing to work on this. I want a divorce. I want out. And so we feel like they have all the power, but it's actually not true. You have an immense amount of ability to influence this situation and influence your partner's unwillingness to change or look at their own behaviors when you start to do it in the right way. And that's exactly what we need to kind of go in and assess what is causing that to happen, because it could be a couple of different things. Like Mark talked about, it could be poor boundaries. It could be poor communication, anything like that. And so we need to help you understand how to address those specific situations. And when you do, you're going to pattern interrupt. When you pattern interrupt and you're no longer going about the same poor boundaries and not able to take responsibility for your part, or they're not able to take responsibility for their part, or you change your communication, you're making really clear requests, you're bringing in a lot of patience, a lot of empathy, you have clear communication now, that's going to interrupt the pattern that you guys are in right now, which is going to do what? It's going to get their attention. Oh, there's something different here. And then it's going to get them curious about what's actually happening. You're going to feel better because you're now stepping into a healthy state to deal with these kind of issues. And you're going to be in a place that your spouse will want to open up more, want to spend more time with you. So Mark, do you have an example of what this looks like? An affair, maybe anything yeah. going on there, understanding the root cause behind a situation?
Sure. I can think back of, you know, and this is not a unique story. This is something that we've seen many times. I can remember one of our clients, her husband was having an affair, and, you know, he was saying that he was done. He was going to be leaving. And really, you know, there's a lot of blame and an unwillingness to look at his own part in the situation. We started talking to her and we kind of identified, oh, like here are these tension points within the relationship. It would have been really easy for us to say, okay, well, he's having an affair. He wants to leave. Just let him go. He's no good for you. But when our client started taking some responsibility for her actions and started like clearing some of the tension, okay, that was all well and good. That's fine. He still wasn't coming back. And so then we started, you know, putting in some boundaries, offering some healthy solutions here. And she was giving lots of ability for him to meet his needs within the marriage while holding these boundaries and increasing some communication about expectations and requests. And, you know, eventually he's like, okay, hey, this is looking a lot better. And he ended up dropping the affair and coming back, and they're perfectly happy now. And we see this like over and over again. There's reasons why people have these affairs, and there's reason, you know, things to do to resolve them.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. So that's going to go a little bit into our next one here, which is when your spouse has a lot of negative regard towards you or the marriage. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this is AKA what we often refer to as the narrative or the story. And this is what really differentiates us from what a lot of other coaches or therapists out there are talking about. You know, they might talk about, hey, we need some boundaries. Hey, we need to do better communication. Hey, there's not really anything you can do if your partner's not willing to change. So, you know, you might be hearing things like that. But what we've found is that these stories that our spouse has about us are so powerful that unless we help them let that story or narrative go about us and change that negative regard to a positive regard, then they're not going to come back. And most people go about this all the wrong way, right? They go into it with begging, pleading, manipulating, desperate attempts to try to get them to change their story. Or we often see you guys working yourself to the bone. Like, I talked to so many of you guys and you are so exhausted and overwhelmed and stressed out because you're like trying to do all the right things. You're trying to prove to them that you're no longer drinking or no longer having an affair or no longer whatever the complaint was, right? You're trying to show them that you've changed. But what happens? A, they don't notice. They just don't even notice, or they do notice and they just don't care. At this point, they just may no longer care. So that's why it's so important that we really address these things. So one of the things about these negative beliefs is that they've been built up over time. So where do these really come from, right? They come from over the past weeks, months, years. They've built up this story or this belief about you, and it reflects poorly on you as a person or on the relationship in general, right? So we talk about this a lot and we help you guys identify what some of these beliefs or stories are. And I'd love to hear yours in the comment because this helps us get clarity on what your spouse is saying. Why are they justifying what they're doing? What is the story they have about you? Some of them are, I don't really matter to my partner. They only care about themselves. I can't be happy here. And so leave a comment, let us know what your spouse's belief or story about you is. Maybe it's, I can see that you're changing, but if I come back to you, then you'll just go back to the way that it was, right? And so I don't believe your changes. I don't believe you when you say this. So because those beliefs have been built up over years, it takes a good amount to really overcome those. And so what I love is what Mark has created here called home messages. And that's really how we tackle this problem with our clients. And it really starts to help them shift that narrative about you. What I really love about what it does, and then we'll show you kind of how to do it, is that it helps your spouse let that story go about you and see you for who you really are. Because my friends, you don't want to just get your spouse back. You don't want to force them back. You don't want to manipulate them to come back. You don't want to demand that they come back. You want them to come back because they want to be with you, because they see you for who you really are and they accept you for who you really are and they love you for who you really are. And this is what I call like the magnet has been turned around. Like right now you're repelling each other and now we've got the magnets turned the right way. So you're just naturally drawn back together. And that's what I've seen happen so many times. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And we do that through home messages. So that's the result of using home messages. And so Mark, take it away. I want you to share a little bit about what a home message is and how it works so well with our clients.
So essentially, like if I had to like explain it in 5 seconds, I tell people, okay, our thought on home messages, they're essentially like affirmations. And we've all heard about affirmations. These are these messages that we repeat to ourselves. We're trying to adopt new beliefs, but they're affirmations for other people that are consistent, clearly communicated, and backed by action. So as an example, if the main main point of around these like negative beliefs, let's say it's this idea that I don't really matter to my partner. Like, let's say that your wife says, well, I don't actually matter to you. You always prioritize other things. Okay, well, then you'd have to really develop some language, some messaging, some discussions around how much your partner matters. And you have to be consistent with that message. You actually, I almost always suggest that we directly communicate these things and that you actually demonstrate it. So, you know, oftentimes I'm like, okay, what is this value that we are trying to build up within your marriage? And they say, well, I want the value to be that, you know, we both matter, that we're important to each other. And so I say, okay, let's try to find ways to like communicate this clearly. And I'll ask my client, how do you actually show your partner that they matter to you. And we talk about all these strategies to demonstrate this and back up the message. But it is very, you know, I'm chuckling here because like Heather and I are typing messages in our notes to each other, and and Heather is putting in here like, yeah, like part these different pieces here. It's very important that we identify a value that we're trying to build up. That's, you know, something that they're asking for, that we show that value with action and we communicate it clearly.
So yeah, that's kind of the formula there. It's really understand what your partner is wanting or asking for. So when they say, like, if their story is, I just don't trust you, then what they're wanting is trust. So often you're going to hear it in a negative way, right? This is a negative regard. So their story is going to be a negative thing. So you need to be a little creative and curious about what they're actually wanting there. Oh, I'll just be really transparent here. One of my husband's negative narratives or regards about me in the past was, you're not really going to listen to me. You're just going to do whatever you want. So why would I even share it with you? Right. And so I had to look at that. What's the value that he's wanting? He's wanting to feel significant, which goes to one of the six, you know, core human needs. He wants a feeling of significance here. And so he got to the point where he would say this enough in our communication that I was like, okay, he's got this really negative narrative about me. He's wanting to feel heard. He's wanting to feel significant. So what can I do, action, to show that value to him, that I do listen to him and that he is significant to me, and that I do want to take in, you know, and talk about what we can do, not just bulldoze him. Mm-hmm. And so when he would start to share something, I would make sure that I listen, and that I would say it back to him, and that we would then work on it like that. So I would say, you know, Ben, what you just said is really important to me. So here I am communicating that value. What you said is really important to me. Thank you for sharing that. I'd like to see how we can work together on that, because I want us to work together. So kind of my home message was, let's work together. And I kept using that language, and I've heard our clients do the same thing. Let's work together. And you say that same, not like annoyingly so or unnaturally so, but every time that there's kind of an opportunity for it to naturally come out, then it's really important to show, hey, with my actions, I'm demonstrating this value to you. And I'm also communicating it clearly with us verbally, so that you're starting to pick up on this new message. And as we do that more and more, then our partner does let their story go about us. And so that's kind of the formula of how to really turn it around. So that's a little bit of an example from my marriage about how home messages work. Mark, do you have anything you'd be willing to share?
Yeah, I can even think of something that was going on last week. So to give kind of a quick backdrop, so my wife, Jennifer, has mostly been focusing on like more of a homemaker role. She's had some side hustles here and there, but more recently she's been wanting to step more into like some professional realms. And, you know, it's been great. Like Heather's been kind of involved in this process, like as in like we're expanding some business opportunities. And this really kind of shook up a lot of responsibilities, as like Jen was taking business calls and making contacts at odd hours. My wife really values a lot of flexibility, and I think I prefer a little bit more expectations, like clear expectations. And so it created a lot of tension. And Jen was here saying like, you're trying to control me, as I would get upset as she like get up from the dinner table to take a call or something. And I was trying to be very, very clear. I was like, okay, I teach this stuff all the time, and I'm seeing that this is like really not going well and it's creating this fight. So I was like, okay, I got to have this message. And I would say, Jen, I really want to support you in developing professionally. I was like, I really want to do that. And we kept having this conflict until we kind of started figuring out, how do we demonstrate this? Because her message back was like, it doesn't feel like you're supporting me. And she would then say, hey, I want this to feel okay to you as well. So like, we were saying the right words, and still there was a lot of there's a lot of fights and tension. And until we kind of had to discuss, how are we going to demonstrate this message It wasn't until we had that discussion that all the tension dropped and everything got all nice and happy again. And we figured out, like, okay, how can we have this mix where it's okay for Jen to step away and it's okay for, you know, on both sides, essentially.
So Mark, I want to ask you, is a story like that, that was just the seed of a story that you experienced last week, Mark is controlling me. Mark isn't supporting me. Mark doesn't want me to do this. Could that be the seed that could lead to divorce if not handled properly?
Oh, absolutely.
It would fester. It would snowball. It could, right? It has the potential. And we see that happen so many times. In fact, if you look back over most marriages, and you can look back over yours as you're thinking about this, it probably started with something a lot more benign. And then over the years, it just accumulated and accumulated and accumulated until this may be all that you think your partner sees in you at this point. Yes. That is a very common thing that we hear from many of us, you know, in our audience and our clients. So Mark, how feasible is it to recover from a marriage that has developed negative regard to that point, or even a negative narrative when it feels like it's so strong, that's the only thing your partner will ever see in you?
So I'll admit that, like, my wife and I, our situation was a little bit easier to recover from because, one, we've developed skills to communicate openly and we didn't let that tension fester. And I can see a lot of situations where this idea of, like, control doesn't get expressed. It's just felt and it kind of sits in the background. And I like the word that you use. I'm going to keep using it. It festers. In terms of recovering from it, it really depends on how well your spouse can kind of buy into these new ideas and how well you can communicate and demonstrate these new ideas, how well you are able to identify what the festering idea was or is. So, like, when we're asking, is your marriage over or not, and we're looking at this negative regard, it's hard to see that if you've been stuck in it for years. It's hard to look at it from the inside and say, yes, I can fix this or not. This is one of those situations that really needs some outside perspective and someone who's really used to dealing with these kind of issues.
Yeah, I'm going to say it again. You can't read the label and you're inside the bottle. And this is the perfect example of that. You're hearing what they're saying, but it's really challenging to know, how do I actually help them overcome that negative narrative or that negative story? And so that's what we do. So an unabashed plug for our method and reaching out to us if you're feeling like you need some help with this, because we all do. It's easier to see after you've been doing it a while and you've got some of these skills going for yourself, like Mark and Jennifer, like I do with my husband, Ben. And so it's something that you can learn, but at the beginning, especially if things have gotten really dire, it does take that outside perspective to read the label, to diagnose what's going on, to assess if there's hope here or not, and then to prescribe the treatment that's going to get you results the fastest. One other thing to touch on here, holding your partner accountable for their beliefs. How does that come into play here as far as a negative regard?
Oh, no, I'm glad you brought this up. I was already getting ready mentally for the next topic. And I was like, oh no, this is a good thing to discuss. So I do see sometimes, like, you might have a really good positive message. You might be really demonstrating that well and backing it up. And your partner just doesn't want to let go of those old beliefs. And we're calling them beliefs or stories or narratives because that's all it is. You know, a lot of people would like to say it's fact. Fact, you didn't value me during, you know, the first 10 years of our marriage or whatever it happens to be. But it's just a story. And so I think it's in especially resilient negative narratives, it can be really important to kind of point that out and hold your partner accountable and kind of really look at the feelings involved here objectively. It's hard to kind of explain what does that look like. We could probably even have a whole hour long discussion, Heather, about how do we hold your partner accountable for their beliefs and how to do that in a kind way that's not going to be dismissive and push them further away. But, you know, there is a lot of room here in that solution. It's not just you do this one thing and everything's going to be good. You know, it's that accountability is important.
Yeah. And it's really kind of like unraveling. I feel like these stories get so tightly wound up in us emotionally. And there's so much like, it's a self-defense mechanism is what it really is at the end of the day, usually, or a justification that helps us not feel so much guilt or shame for what we're doing. So either way, it's kind of preventing us from feeling some level of pain. And that barrier there is one that like, we need to show a lot of empathy, a lot of understanding, and gain perspective into what's going on there to help kind of unravel that story and to reduce a lot of that fear and that tension that's causing that wall to be held up. The beautiful thing is we've seen some absolutely like really strong negative regard out there. Like, you don't emotionally support me, so that's why I'm having an affair and I want to get married to another woman, you know? Or you never listen to me. You only care about work. And so I'm done. I'd rather be alone than be with you. Like, these are a lot of the stories that are very common for our clients, their spouses to have when they first come to us. And we've seen them let that go and give their heart fully again to their spouse. And when they give you their heart fully again, it's like the story's gone. And now they just want to be with you. And it's a beautiful thing to see. So, all right. We've got the negative regard. We've got our unwillingness to change. We have two more to touch on. Mark, a quick side note to you. Do you want to make a part two or should we touch on these quickly?
Looking at the time, we have these other situations. We also have like the questions to ask yourself. And, you know, as always, there's so much to talk about in all of these. I'm surprised over and over again, like how much we can really have an in-depth conversation on like a simple question of like, do I stay or not?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's better just to skip to the Mythbuster for the week and leave the questions and the other circumstances for the next episode.
Sounds fair to me. These questions are amazing though, and we really want to share them with you. So please, if you enjoyed this so far, if you found it helpful, watch episode or part two of this topic so that you can get those questions to ask yourself. That's going to give you a lot of clarity there. You know, you take 2 hours to invest into listening to us on the podcast. It's going to save you so much headache and stress of wondering, tossing and turning at night. Is it possible to save my marriage? Should I keep fighting? Should I move on? Am I being stupid here? Right? Or is there really hope and I should actually learn what it's going to take to turn it around? So we definitely want to give you guys solutions to that. All right. So a quick call to action here is to take our quiz. It's going to be our Hope for My Marriage quiz. And you just take this quiz to find out if it's possible to save your marriage at this point or not. So a little bit of a preview. Okay. A little bit of a teaser of some of the questions we're going to ask you next episode. If you don't want to wait, you want to know now, I still encourage you to listen to the next episode, but you can go ahead and just put the word quiz in the comments below the podcast and we will get you the quiz to know if there's hope for your marriage or not. All right. Awesome. Marriage Mythbuster time. If a relationship needs therapy, then it's already too late. I've heard this one said, Mark, I'm sure you've heard this one said as well. Many people say, man, we didn't really get help until it was already like really dire. I wish we'd done it sooner. But is this truth that if a relationship needs therapy, it's already too late?
Well, no, like in the back of our head where we all kind of realize that this is not the case. I do think it's more of a factor of, like you said, like there's sometimes people wait too long to go to therapy and then they feel as though it's too late. I think the big factor that determines this, whether it is too late once you get into therapy or not, it's how you view couples counseling or therapy interventions in general. Like in my view, if a lot of times couples counseling, it's about teaching relationship skills that were never taught within society. We don't learn these things. I maybe I had this deprived childhood. I don't think I did. But, no one really sat down with me and said, okay, this is how you go through a relationship successfully. This is how you talk to your wife. Here's all the ins and outs of it. No, I had to go out and I had to read books and I had to, my education was a big factor as I was, learning all these therapy skills, learning how to talk to people. I had to live through rough fights with my wife and learn from those experiences. And, not everyone takes the time to learn these sort of skills, or it's just not natural. But anyways, one could certainly see couples counseling as the last stop before divorce if you're unwilling to go in and try to understand your partner. If this is about you want to tell your partner, a piece of your mind. You want to dump all these things, all these wrongs that you've experienced in the relationship. Now that's going to be something that's going to create the situation where it's the last stop before divorce. If you're unwilling to make changes yourself, same sort of thing. If you're unwilling to support your spouse in the difficult changes that they need to make, not something that we always consider. We might say, okay, well, that's their responsibility. They need to make those changes. And I do think that there needs to be a lot of consideration of this is a difficult thing to change. They've been maybe this way for many years. What kind of support is needed to help make those changes that are wanted? Or lastly, if you're unwilling to let go of some of the pains that you've experienced, these are all factors. If you're going into with this kind of mindset, I can't let go of this and my spouse's problems are their own. They need to take care of it. And I don't need to make any change. And they're just wrong and I'm right. Well, then yes, your therapy experience is going to be terrible. And I'm guessing that's just going to contribute to this narrative that your marriage is over. Alternatively, you could look at couples counseling as a tool to overcome problems, a way to support you in the road to recovery and reconciliation. You could go the opposite of all these ideas and be willing to look at some changes and to understand your partner and to support your spouse and the changes and so on and so forth. It's up to you and your husband or wife what you want to get out of the therapy and whether it's too late. And that's my piece on that.
Thank you. Yes. Awesome. And so with that being said, I hope you guys have enjoyed this video. Leave a comment. Let us know what stood out to you the most. Leave the word quiz if you want our quiz to know if there's hope for your marriage or not. And if you want more videos just like this, then please subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. And so next week, we're going to share with you part two. We weren't planning on this, but it's worth it, of when to tell if your marriage is over or not. So thank you guys so much for joining us today, and we hope you have a thriving marriage.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.